Well, I'm sure that some of you are wondering why I'm standing here. Well, it's a question I've asked myself a few times today. But during 2017, I felt called to preach, and my initial reaction was, you have got to be kidding. But the call didn't go away, and one day I had a picture of standing before God, and he said to me, Merle, why did you not use the gifts I gave you? And I said, well, actually, I was just too frightened. And he said, but why didn't you trust me? So here I am, trusting God and trying to be obedient to the call he's put on my life. But the theme today is obedience. The marriage ceremony used to have love, honor, and obey. Well, that got dropped, didn't it? Because, you know, this word obey sends shivers down our spines, particularly in the Western world where it's all about individual rights and self-expression. But in fact, God has quite a lot to say about obedience. And in the reading of Luke 19, we see three people or groups of people being obedient. And so today I'd like to spend a little bit of time and looking at those three groups and then looking at what God has to say about obedience and then the consequences of not being obedient. So the first people we see being obedient are the disciples. And Jesus tells them to go on ahead, find the unridden colt, Dave, and bring it back to him. And how often do the disciples not understand or they question what Jesus has to say? And quite honestly, I'm a what if type of person. What if the colt isn't there? What if the owner doesn't hand it over? What if I've misunderstood what Jesus wants? But on this occasion, we don't see the disciples doing any of that. They just seem to accept Jesus at his word, that everything will happen as he has said it will. We don't read of any questions being asked. There's a saying, look before you leap. And that is all about, you know, encouraging people to consider and think things through before making a commitment. But that doesn't always seem to be God's way. God does ask us to do things without having all the details filled in advance. And in those cases, we need to go back and look at what we know about God's character. He is our Father. He would never deliberately hurt us. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's Luke 11. Another characteristic of God is his deep love for us. He sent his son to die for us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So, how good are you at obeying God when all the details aren't filled in? Stepping out in faith and obedience, super scary, but perhaps not as scary as standing before God when we have not been obedient. The second person that we see being obedient is the owner of the colt, who hands over his possessions without any questions being asked. Commentators have suggested that Jesus had friends in many places, and possibly the owner of the cult was one of these. And so when he was told the Lord needs it, he knew it was Jesus who was being referred to, and therefore sent his cult, the cult with the disciples. However, the truth still remains. The owner was happy for Jesus to use what he owned. In Mark 12:41-44, Jesus sits in the temple watching people put the offering into the collection box. A bit of a strange place to sit. It's a bit like sitting at an ATM, I thought. But what is really interesting is that Jesus chose that place to sit and watch people giving their offerings. God's interest in our giving is not cursory. He recognizes more than we do how our faith is revealed in our habits of giving. How about you? Do you argue when the Lord makes a demand on something that belongs to you? In the Western world, we spend half our time lamenting the fact that we don't have enough time. So what happens when Jesus asks you to give up some of your precious time for his work? Well, all the reasons why not lined up? Or do you obey like the cult's owner? What about money? You know, we all feel we work so hard for our money, and it's our responsibility to plan for our futures. But what if God asks you to donate money to his work? Are you suddenly deaf? Do you have all your excuses ready as to why it would be an awful idea? Here we have a man who gave freely of what he owned. We say everything comes from God, but we're often very reluctant to give anything back. The third person we see being obedient is Jesus himself. After 3 years of keeping a low profile, Jesus knows that his time on earth is coming to an end. And he turns towards Jerusalem in obedience of the Father's wishes. What an incredible example of obedience. And what an example to aspire to. Jesus, as God, knew what lay ahead of him. Jesus, in his humanity, didn't want to face the crucifixion or experience a separation from God that he knew he would need to. But despite this, he is obedient. And he set his face towards Jerusalem and what awaited him there. How do you go when God asks you to do something that is difficult, unpleasant, or just really not fun? The result of Jesus' obedience is that we are redeemed and justified. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can stand before a holy God and not be afraid of judgment. What could the result of our obedience be? On a personal level, our faith is built up as we experience God's presence and strength. But on a wider scale, we could change not only a person's present, but their eternity by sharing the gospel at God's prompting. So what is God's opinion on obedience? We've heard some examples of it. Well, right from the beginning in Genesis, God has asked for obedience. He said to Adam and Eve, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And when people have not been obedient, there have been consequences. With Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and broke the wonderful fellowship a holy God had with his creation. When the Israelites disobeyed, they had to wander around the desert for 40 years. But obedience brings wonderful benefits. When the Israelites obeyed God, he blessed them with peace, security, bountiful crops. We obey God's commands not because we have to, but because we want to, out of our love for him. And when we do obey God, we live a life of joy, without shame, a life that's rooted deeply in the Lord, confident of our eternal hope. Obedience to God proves our love for him, demonstrates our faithfulness to him, glorifies him to the world, and then opens avenues of blessing for us. Obedience, the practical acceptance of the authority and will of God. And it includes submitting to him and then expressing that submission in actions, words, and deeds. I had an example of how difficult it is to obey and submit in actions. I quite often read the verse for the day on my Bible app that I have on my phone, and it's words of encouragement and assurance, and I go into my day feeling, yeah. So open the verse, and it says, do not repay wrong for wrong. I thought, yeah, that's nice. Within seconds of me reading that, I got a text. And it was someone who I felt was being really quite unkind. My first reaction was to, I am going to send a blistering text back in response to this. But I just read, do not repay wrong for wrong. Oomph, you know? Anyway, I managed to put my phone down. I thought the best thing I can do is, in fact, just not respond. Put my phone away. But as the day continued, the situation actually escalated. And all I wanted to do was tell people what was happening. But do not repay wrong for wrong. I had to physically clamp my lips shut to stop any words popping out. I developed a pain in my stomach. So great was my desire actually to tell everybody what was happening. But do not repay wrong for wrong. But I have to admit that when I got home, I did tell Angus the whole story. But I thought that was okay. How hard is it to be obedient and submit in deeds, words, and actions? For me, incredibly hard. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. The words of Jesus as recorded in John 14. Obedience to God and his word is necessary in every part of our lives. As seen in today's passage, obedience is listening and following instructions, even when the way ahead is not clear. Obedience includes our possessions, our time, and our money. And we are called to be obedient, even when things are difficult or unpleasant. But there are consequences to disobedience, as seen throughout the Bible. God does not turn a blind eye to continued disobedience. Disobedience is caused by rebellion and distrust of God. To be disobedient is to yield to self-will instead of surrendering and desiring His will in all things. See, I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I've commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. And that is from Deuteronomy. But we are all disobedient. We all sin and fall short. So what do we do about that? Confess disobedience as a sin. Ask for forgiveness. Claim His promise of pardon. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's from 1 John. So may I encourage you to ask God to reveal areas of disobedience. Confess it. Rectify it. Experience the full blessing that God has for each of us. Obedience is a choice. We can choose to listen to God. We can choose to give what we own to God. We can choose to follow even when it's unpleasant. Obedience is the demonstration of our love for God. And this is what we see in Jesus at Easter. He was obedient to His Father's wishes. Out of love for the Father and for us, He chose to take the road to Jerusalem, which in turn led to the cross and, in the end, our salvation. Amen.